translation and purport by the Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. He, the personality of Godhead, as the maintainer of all in the universe, appears in different incarnations after establishing the creation, and thus he reclaims all kinds of conditioned souls amongst the humans, the non-humans, and the demigods. Kindly repeat after me. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, incarnates himself in different societies of living entities to reclaim them from the clutches of illusion. And such activities of the Lord are not limited only to human society. He incarnates himself even as a fish, hog, tree, and many other forms. But less intelligent persons who have no knowledge of him deride him, even if he is in human society as a human being. The Lord therefore says in the Bhagavad Gita 9:11, Abhajananti mamudha manushim tanumasritam param bhavam ajananto mama bhuta maheshwaram. As we have already discussed in the previous verses, it is concluded that the Lord is never a product of the material creation. His transcendental position is always unchanged. He is the eternal form of knowledge and bliss, and he executes his almighty will by his different energies. As such, he is never the subject of reactions for any of his acts. He is transcendental to all such conceptions of actions and reactions. Even if he is visible in the material world, the exhibition is only of his internal energy, for he is above the good and bad conceptions of this material world. In the material world, the fish or the hog may be considered lower than the man, but when the Lord appears as a fish or a hog, he is neither of them in the material conception. It is his causeless mercy that he appears in every society or species of life, but he is never to be considered one of them. Conceptions of the material world, such as good and bad, lower and upper, important and insignificant, are estimations of the material energy. And the Supreme Lord is transcendental to all such conceptions. The words param bhavam, or transcendental nature, can never be compared to the material conception. We should not forget that the potencies of the Almighty Lord are always the same and do not decrease because the Lord assumes the form of a lower animal. There is no difference between Lord Sri Ram, Lord Sri Krishna, and his incarnations as a fish and a hog. He is all-pervading and simultaneously localized at any and every place. But the foolish person with a poor fund of knowledge for want of that param bhavam of the Lord cannot understand how the Supreme Lord can take the form of a man or a fish. One compares everything to one's own standard of knowledge, as the frog in the well considers the sea to be like the well. The frog in the well cannot even think of the sea, and when such a frog is informed of the greatness of the sea, it takes the conception of the sea as being a little greater than the well. As such, one who is foolish about the transcendental science of the Lord will find it difficult to understand how Lord Vishnu can equally manifest himself in every society of living entities. And I read again the translation. To text 42. He, the personality of Godhead, as the maintainer of all in the universe, appears in different incarnations after establishing the creation, and thus he reclaims all kinds of conditioned souls amongst the humans, the non-humans, and the demigods. So in this text, actually, we find, as we do in many verses of the Bhagavatam, the word dharma, Bhagavan, dharma, and here it is dharma rupa dhrik, assuming the form of religious principles. Dharma is one of our favorite words. It's meant to be. There are specific words like that, dharma and tattva, and they are of immense importance because our whole lives are meant to be centered on these, I would say, foundational concepts that make up our Vedic culture, Vedic philosophy, Vedic sociology, Vedic economics, Vedic everything, actually. I'm just passing through London and the Manor. I'm happy to be here after a few years, I guess. And my name is Bhakti Raghava Swami, and have been involved for a number of years, actually, in India especially, in promoting something which probably many of us are maybe less involved with, but it's directly connected with dharma, and therefore, for the short few minutes remaining in our class, I'd like to briefly comment on a few things which I consider of extreme importance, because they were often spoken about by our founder, Acharya, Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Actually, I'm kind of in the beginning of a tour, 3-month tour, promoting the whole ideology of what is called Make Vrindavan Villages. I think everyone here has heard of Vrindavan, of course. Srila Prabhupada, as we know, was extremely successful, fully successful in introducing the Vedic culture all over the world. And one devotee in particular who was with Srila Prabhupada in Vrindavan in the last days or last weeks of Srila Prabhupada's physical presence, you might have heard this before, he asked Srila Prabhupada. There were a few other devotees as well, like Brahmananda and a few others. Srila Prabhupada, do you have any regrets? You know, I mean, Prabhupada, he traveled the whole world, and he opened so many temples. He did so many things. So, because he had just a few days remaining, so this devotee... So, initially Prabhupada said no, then... Prabhupada thought a few minutes, a few moments. Then he said, yes, actually I do. One regret is that I have not been able to fully establish Varnashrama. And this, I personally actually spoke to that devotee. Some of you may know him. His name is Abhiram. He was Srila Prabhupada's personal nurse, in Vrindavan in the last quite a few months. And Srila Prabhupada, this is also recognized by our leaders within our society, how 50% of our mission within the society has yet to be accomplished and fulfilled. It's an immense topic, and there's no way that in 20 minutes we can do justice to the topic. But I just want to underline a few small things which hopefully, possibly can get your intellect and consciousness possibly a little interested to the topic at hand. We speak about dharma, as I mentioned, many, many times in the Bhagavatam. We know about Sanatan Dharma. We know how Krishna appears in the material world. Dharma samstapanartaya sambhavami yuge yuge. At different times, like here, different incarnations. So many different types of incarnations and different species of life, etc. And the primary purpose is to, one of the primary purposes, to reestablish the principles of dharma. What we often, I would say, not fully grasp is that dharma is meant to be understood and applied, of course, on two levels, or we could say two features. Like the Panchatattva has five features, three tattvas within five personalities. So dharma has two basic features, which are detailed, explained by our acharyas. One being a spiritual swadharma. And we can all relate, I would say, quite easily, more easily, to spiritual swadharma as being the original quality and nature of all of us as spirit souls. And it is summarized in what we all have heard many, many times, Jiver Swarup Hoy Krishna Nityadas, that is our spiritual Swadharma. What we as devotees and as a society, in addition to that basic fundamental understanding of Dharma, need to also know is that the other dimension of material Swadharma. And material Swadharma is of such a nature that it is meant to include Jai Shri Sri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai, Shri Sri Gaunitai Ki Jai. It is meant to include and involve not only those who are closely connected with the temple or living in a temple, but actually the whole of society. And also what we may not understand is that material Swadharma, some of the foundational principles of material Swadharma must include Varnashrama Dharma. When we speak of society, Vedic culture, we cannot avoid, even though it's not easy to address or even possibly to in our present day society, because we are so far removed. But the essence of what Varnashrama Dharma is has been, I would say, especially more elaborately presented by our acharyas, beginning from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And some of you might be surprised to hear a few of the statements of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I'll mention just maybe one or two. He mentions how the system, which is of course created by Krishna, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Chatur Varnamaya system, that verse, the system of Varnashrama Dharma is meant for the Vaishnavas who are still in their conditioned state. It means as long as we are having even a slight tinge of connection with any of the modes of material nature, including the mode of goodness, we need to remain and respect the system that Krishna has given. He also mentions, of course, Prabhupada mentions a number of things as well, which I'll try to share briefly. He also mentions, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that all of our activities within the framework of what is referred to as Daiva Varnashrama, because Daiva Varnashrama means the divine culture. Actually, Prabhupada translates at different times the very word Varnashrama as divine culture. Daiva or Daivi, it's used, there's no major difference actually between Daiva and Daivi. It means basically divine, spiritualized. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually explains how Daiva Varnashrama, all activities performed within Daiva Varnashrama do not incur karmic reaction. They are on the level, if we're performing them in proper consciousness, on the level of bhakti, which is sometimes not clearly known or understood by devotees. And of course, most of us who are, the majority of us who are in city temples, we may not so easily be able to relate to this dimension of material dharma, which is, as I mentioned a little earlier, meant to be a very essential part of Srila Prabhupada's mission. However, one of the, and I'll just share this one book here, which I brought. I'm curious to know whether any of you have heard about or read this book, which is entitled Speaking About Varnashrama. How many have heard about this book? Raise your hand. A few. Okay. So majority have not, actually. So Speaking About Varnashrama is not my book. it's a book that was, we can say, actually commissioned by the GBC a long time back, 1996, which was, you know, Srila Prabhupada's centennial. And at that time, the GBC wanted that a group of devotees do some research on community development, because, you know, it's important. after doing the research, one of the members of that committee was commissioned to actually write this book. It's a compilation of basically, it's 100% quotes of Srila Prabhupada on so many aspects of Varnashrama Dharma. I mention this book because Srila Prabhupada, as we know, as we should know, requested many, many years ago that every single center, every single project that we have, either in the city or in the country or whatever, should immediately, at that time, establish a Varnashram College for the purpose of helping us as devotees. Most of us have not been to Gurukul or received, I mean, not most of us have not been born in a Vaishnava family. All glories to those who have. It means that we've not really been so much exposed to the Vedic culture and in particular to Varnashrama Dharma. And therefore, this book is a very helpful, I would say, whether there is a Varnashram College or not, and I highly recommend it. When we speak of this 50% of Srila Prabhupada's mission, actually, it is meant to be, it should be in the forefront, especially of all our leaders within our society, beginning from those who are maybe temple commanders to temple presidents, and then above, regional secretaries, etc. Srila Prabhupada made many statements, one of them being that one of the purposes and objectives of our society is to bring a complete overhaul within modern society, which is, he often used the word, I'm sure we've all heard it, is a totally misdirected society. So in other words, there's very interesting, I'll ask another question, how many have heard about and read, if you've heard about it, probably you've read it. How many have heard about and read the essay on Gita Nagari? Okay. Gita Nagari is in the folio. You're not to blame completely in the sense that it's not been published. So you have some reason that, okay, well, I haven't seen the book, right? And because there's no book. But it is available. It is this also, speaking about Varnashrama, is in the folio. And essay on Gita Nagari is also in the folio. And Srila Prabhupada, basically, way back, it was published in his Back to Godhead magazine in 1956. And that means that Srila Prabhupada had these thoughts in terms of bringing about social changes and reverting to the traditional system of Varna and Ashrama. It is not a simple or easy subject matter, and I think probably most of you would agree. Actually, even for some devotees just don't even want to hear the word Varnashrama sometimes. but I, in my few years of experience, I make a humble request to all of you to kindly have a look at this book. These two books, actually. I mean, this book, speaking about Varnashrama, and also the essay on Gita Nagari. Srila Prabhupada gives extremely important instructions, and for our ISKCON, I mean, our ISKCON society, we are meant to be. Prabhupada, when he first went to the West, what was his main reason for going to the West? To create a class of brahmanas, isn't it? To reestablish, put a head back on society. So the brahmanas are meant to actually introduce the entire culture, what we call Vedic culture. And he gave, Srila Prabhupada gave very specific instructions. You work out a curriculum whereby individuals can learn to become qualified brahmanas. You develop another curriculum where individuals can learn to become qualified kshatriyas, etc., actually. So this remains an extremely vital aspect of our ISKCON society's mission. And in many ways, not to scare anyone, but time is running out in the sense that the modern day society, I mean, Prabhupada spoke about this many years ago, and we can all attest to that as well. Is a very, Prabhupada called it a very dangerous society. modern civilization is a soul-killing civilization. We all have some understanding and of how deteriorated is modern-day society. And, of course, we all know that the Yugadharma is the chanting of the holy name. It is not to minimize the practice of the chanting or the practice of bhakti or devotional service. But this whole dimension is very important. I'll just end on one small thing, which is stated and explained, probably one of the main explanations given in this essay, Gita Nagari. And I'll leave you to think about this. I'm just here for a very short time, actually, like today and tomorrow, I think. And in that essay, Prabhupada speaks about four movements, four phases by which the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is meant to be introduced. Anyone has heard about these four movements? Okay. We're reading all the same books here. In one sense, again, because most of you have not read, and again, because it's not been published, Gita Nagari. But these four movements, Srila Prabhupada introduced actually when he went to the West as well. I'll just mention them very briefly, and you'll be able to see how there. Careful, how there is a very logical connection, and like evolution also between these four movements. Prabhupada gave the name movements. He called them four movements, connected with the fourfold, what is it, topics of Gandhi, of Gandhiji. Anyway, the first movement, Prabhupada called it Sankirtan movement, not to be confused with what Hare Krishna, we generally think about in terms of Sankirtan, but in the context that Prabhupada wrote about Sankirtan movement in the essay Gita Nagari, he especially means the holy name and an extension of the holy name, which is transcendental books, right? Brihat Mridanga. So Sankirtan movement is like, that's how Prabhupada started his preaching in the West. He went under a tree in Thompson Square Park and Hare Krishna started chanting, right? So second movement, Prabhupada called it deity worship movement. Here we are. I mean, after some people show some interest, they need a place to come and they are introduced to Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda, to Krishna, yeah. Third movement, Prabhupada called it spiritual initiation movement. Spiritual initiation movement, more easily we can understand, is related to what we have in our society today, congregational preaching, training individuals so that they can be qualified to actually officially become part of Krishna's family through the process of diksha or initiation. And the fourth movement, which eludes most of us, and and also the title, the title that Prabhupada gave is initially misleading, not intended to be misleading, but Prabhupada calls it the classless society movement. Some people immediately, some devotees will be rejoicing to hear that there's a classless society movement. We don't have to bother about varnashram, no classes. But Prabhupada doesn't mean that. He means that actually there are four varnas and four ashramas, but everyone within those varnas are considered, when they are focused on the same activity of serving Krishna, of devotional service, then there is no difference or there's no clash between them. And that is how, that is one of our important goals and objectives, to reach out to the masses of people to introduce the whole concept of Daiva Varnashrama. And there are different, maybe later on we'll leave some pamphlets that have some links. If any devotees are interested, they may like to follow up and read about it. There's also this small book, Make Vrindavan Villages, that will be available later on. It's 8:30, and I know devotees are all busy people, so I don't want to hold up anyone. If there's any quick question or comment, I saw the first hand in the back there, so yes, Prabhu, mic is there. It's closer to you anyways.
Can you tell us what is the current happening in this regard? What's happening in the ISKCON world in this regard?
Well, do you want me to give another class? What's happening is this, basically. Since a number of years, there has been a national ministry in India called ISKCON Daiva Varnashrama Ministry. And lo and behold, you're facing the former minister of that ministry. and we don't have any organized other, I would say, entity. There's no global Varnashrama ministry, although there should be. And it's kind of like there have been a few resolutions. One of them goes back to 2010, excuse me, whereby everyone who's giving Bhagavatam class, I happen to be giving Bhagavatam class this morning, should give like 5 or 10% of his time speaking about Varnashrama. I'm just making up for those who haven't. And, yeah. And I have to do that often. So there are books like this book here, and it's not that our leaders are not aware of this, but it's been slow in happening. And the last resolution that I read was in 2015, whereby it's a short resolution, GBC resolution, stating that whereby we recognize that Srila Prabhupada spoke about Varnashrama, and in that resolution it mentions that it is 50% of his unfulfilled mission. We hereby establish a research committee, 2015, and nobody knows what happened to the research committee. I'm sorry, but yeah, I think maybe you can understand. There's not really very much happening, unfortunately. We don't have Varnashram colleges. We don't have a global ministry on Varnashrama, and we very, very less, not so often speak about it. Maybe you can pass on the mic to somebody else. Okay, there it is. Great, yeah.
Thank you, Maharaj, for the class. I'm just making it more localized now for the manor, considering where we're at. We're kind of like on the outskirts of the city, and we have some, we do some education from here on Krishna consciousness, but we haven't given that much attention to Varnashram, probably not the way in which you probably wanted, envisaged it to happen. If we were to go towards establishing a Varnashram college, because it's not like, we kind of go external, like, farm communities and all that around here, because most people, our congregation are city folk working in the city, yeah, companies and things. So you mentioned the first thing is education,
yes,
about having syllabuses for Brahmanas and syllabuses for Kshatriyas and,
yeah,
what have you. So if one was to, let's establish Varnashram, what would be the first steps in our kind of situation here?
Yes, good question. We need to find the devotees who are more brahminically inclined, because education is particularly the domain of brahmanas. And those devotees who are brahminically inclined would need to study the traditional system of Vedic education, which is has been and continues to be taught, for example, in Gurukula, which is explained in different books. There's a concept of what is called Chatur Vidya. They would have to know what are the four basic Vedic sciences, beginning with what is called Anvikshiki, the science of philosophy, Trayi, the science of education, Dandaniti, the science of politics, and Varta, the science of economics. So, because mostly so in other words, those who are having some interest and they would need to initially study and have a more clear understanding of how to go about establishing a Varnashrama college. I'm involved right now in Mayapur to establish an actual Varnashrama college. We have devotees connected with the ministry started what is called Varnashram College Online about 3 years ago, giving courses online in different languages. So the topic of education is very, very essential. It's one of the most important aspects for all of us. Not only we need to educate others, we need to educate ourselves as well. In the context of how to introduce our movement as broadly as possible in the context of Varnashrama Dharma, as Srila Prabhupada referred to or spoke to a lot. I would suggest that any individual devotee interested could open communication with the ministry that is there in India. I mean, the Bhaktivedanta Manor and other, it's not that we don't have any educational activities. There are a number of them, but touching or connected with, closely connected with Varnashrama is still quite rare. Yeah. And there's a real need for that because we you know, we have been overly, I would say, focused and centered on our city temples, forgetting that, you know, the majority of people are far away from our temples, and of course we need to establish temples. We need to continue establish temples, but we need to educate beginning with our own devotees, how this whole culture can be more made available to the largest number of people in society as possible. Yeah. Last question, maybe?
Can I just do a follow-up before I hand over to Divyananda?
If it's quick?
Very quick.
It is.
You know, yeah. You know, so with the Varnashram, as we develop in ISKCON, are we looking to be the kind of the ones giving the education for the wider society, or we're trying to replicate Varnashram in all its aspects for wider society to, like, follow?
For everyone. I mean, when Prabhupada states that one of the purposes of our society is to bring a complete overhaul within society, he's talking about general society, isn't it? Beginning with ourselves, we need to understand the basic concepts and principles, and only then we can, you know, bring about some changes within society as much as it may be possible. Yes.
Maharaj, I just wanted to say thank you for the wonderful services you're doing, especially in India, because I've been working with Sri Krishna Purushottam Prabhu and Sri Ram Prabhu in sending a lot of Srimad Bhagavatam sets, which are going to the villages. So I'm very grateful that under your leadership, so many things are happening. And I just wanted to convey my gratitude because so many villages have been lost to so many different ideologies. And because of this effort you have taken and these wonderful devotees who are working across the globe to try and send so many sets of Bhagavatam to the villages, it's really wonderful as to what's happening. Thank you so much, Maharaj.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Hare Bom. So thank you all very much, and Jai Granth Rai Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. Hare Krishna.